Welcome to The Apartment Guys, where we discuss all things apartment investing related, including how to find cash-flowing apartments and raise capital. Join us every week for high-level discussion and interviews that will take your investing to the next level. Now, here are your hosts, The Apartment Guys, John Prince and Tate Seamer.
Welcome back to The Apartment Guys podcast. This is a really exciting one for us. Again, we have kind of a rock star guest to share with you her perspective on mindset in particular. And I wanted to bring her on. She's a high-level real estate professional and entrepreneur. She's not necessarily in the apartment space, but her mindset game and her backstory and her outcomes are so compelling, and her level of contribution in terms of being a thought leader, an author, a speaker it really blew me away. I just heard her on a podcast recently with Mr. Hal Elrod, who is kind of a hero of mine from over the last year or so. I've really immersed myself in his work with The Miracle Morning. So a couple of quick things on Monica Sawyer. She's here with us, and we're thrilled. She's known as the Blissful Millionaire, and she hosts the radio show and podcast Real Estate Investing for Women, which I love. She's been featured on stages with Suzanne Summers, Martha Stewart, and I mentioned Hal Elrod, and she's spoken at places like the NASDAQ Marketplace, Harvard, Carnegie Hall, and she's been on NBC, CBS, ABC, and Fox, and she's reached over 150 million people. That's, like I said, that is some serious thought leadership. So, Monica, like I said, super excited to have you. Your energy alone is just worth tuning into. I know that you're going to provide just a tremendous value here to our listeners. I'm really thrilled. So thank you so much. I know you're really busy. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, Tate, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited about this conversation, and I'm so glad you're following Hal, and that's how you found me. I feel blessed that I feel like I can call him friend, and he's just really impacted so many people's lives, and so thank you so much for reaching out.
Yeah, you betcha. So you have a book, and your book is called Choose Bliss, The Power and Practice of Joy and Contentment. I mentioned your podcast. You have a really robust website, and you've had just a ton of success, specifically in the single family world. And we can talk a little bit about that. But you know, your story in particular is I think a really good place to start that will kind of contextualize our conversation. And you know, just to reiterate for the listener, Monica brings her Jedi mindset techniques to us today. And even though she's not in the apartment space, I feel like everything that we'll be able to talk about today will be really almost directly applicable to anybody's real estate career. So Monica, do you mind just kind of telling your story? I know your story, but I think the listener would love to hear it from you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a coach of mine once said to me, Monica, you can't be successful in the real estate out there until you've got control of the real estate between your ears. And so I really love that you're focusing on mindset, because I think a lot of real estate people forget that it's not all strategy. So much of our real estate success is all about who we are and who we're becoming. So thank you so much for focusing on that today. So my story, let's get into it. So yeah. I've got two stories, and they kind of marry in between, which is why I'm the Blissful Millionaire, right? Because I married my bliss life with my real estate life. So I've got two stories. So if I can share both, we'll see what happens.
But absolutely.
Let's start with the real like the mindset story. So I was born in very, and I really hope this doesn't get offensive to anybody. So understand that I'm saying all this from a sweet place in my heart.
Sure.
But I was born in a place that I would say is very white America. So I'm Indian. And in those days, being Indian was really not cool. It was equated with just a colored person. So I was a colored person in a white community and learned very, very early on that people did not like me, that I was going to be alone, and that life was a struggle. People humiliated, tormented, and bullied me constantly. And so fortunately, my home was my sanctuary. My parents are amazing people, but I couldn't share with them what was going on out there in the world because they too were so afraid of what would happen to their little girls. And so I kind of had to bear this alone. I had two younger sisters. I had to bear it for them. So this was really my thing. And I became very committed at that time to figure out a way to be happy because I even starting from a very young child, I was miserable. So this journey towards bliss started from that very young age with the realization that I was on my own and I was responsible for my own life. Anyways, I had a lot of really horrible experiences. As I became a teenager, I became more of a pleaser because we want to make sure, I wanted people to like me. I wanted to be happy. And my strategy at that time was to become a pleaser. And then even more horrible things happened. The bullying got more dramatic and boys started doing really horrible things to me because I couldn't say no.
Wow.
So you can imagine life was becoming more and more difficult. And then I went to college, but you know, you kind of, whoever you are, that's who you take with you, right? So I got out of high school, I got out of white America, went to college at UC Berkeley where there was a huge amount of diversity, but I was still me. So the trauma followed me, right? More horrible things happened. And then I got out of college and was really excited, got a brand new job. And then as I was moving, literally the week as I was moving to the place for my new job, I got in a horrible car accident that was not my fault. And I had been a professional dancer with a world reputation. That was my ultimate dream. It was the one thing in my whole life that had given me so much joy. And I got in this car accident and my legs were basically gone. They were completely destroyed. Not completely destroyed, but my hips were dislocated. I could no longer stand or walk. Let's say it that way. So the one joy in my life, the one ambition that I wanted to be a professional dancer was now taken away from me also. So when I woke up in the hospital, I overheard the doctors talking to my cousin, who was the closest family member at the time that they called in, that she may never walk again. And as I lay there with my eyes closed in the dark overhearing the conversation, I just thought, this is not going to happen to me. I can't have that taken away also. And I decided in this groggy, you know, medication-filled head that I was not going to be a cripple. Mm. And so when I finally woke up and opened my eyes and the doctor noticed, we had a long conversation about, we need to get you in a chair. I was at Kaiser at the time. And at that time, Kaiser was not awesome. They're amazing now, but they were not awesome. And so they could not keep me in the hospital. I was going to be sent home. Mm. Couldn't even take care of myself. But I refused the chair because I thought to myself, if I get in a wheelchair now and I have that crutch, I will never get out.
Wow. Wow.
So decided to not get in the chair. My brother carried me home, carried me to the car, carried me home. I call my cousin my brother. That's an Indian thing. And started my recovery. And I was really good about, you know, trying to do my physical therapy and all of those things. But the pain didn't subside. I had to stay on painkillers. My job that I was so excited about, I lost. Mm-hmm. My fiance, who I was engaged to, left because I had changed so dramatically. Pain changes people.
Yeah.
And so here I was alone, a cripple, and I didn't know what my life was going to be like.
How old were you at this point?
I was 22.
Okay.
At the time. So I struggled through, got myself walking. And so in about 2 years, I was able to be upright for 2 hours at a time. So wow. I could go out for about 2 hours at a time and be a normal person. And one of the things that I decided, and this is because of my cultural background, I was like, I need a husband. This is one of those things that happens for us, right? We think, oh, if I get a relationship, everything will be better, right? And so I decided I was going to get married, which is kind of an interesting thing. And I started dating. Those 2 hours a day that I was upright, I started dating. That's what I did with that time. Yeah. And I met this amazing man and we got married. And it was truly blissful that period of my time. However, within a year, I realized that having a relationship, being married, does not fix all your problems. And this is a really big thing for all of us to realize, is that we are responsible for our own lives, right? Yeah. Nobody else can change us. Nobody else can make our life better. They can support us, they can amplify our life, but they can't make it better for us. Mm-hmm. So within a year, I fell into a huge depression. Nothing was working. My life just kept going from bad to worse, no matter what I did. Mm. And I fell into a huge depression. And I remember being in bed. I'd been in bed for a week with my covers held over my head. I barely ate and I just cried. And I remember one morning I woke up, it had been about 7 days in bed, and I heard my mom's voice in my head. And my mom said to me, Monica, get out of bed, get some air, you'll feel better. Mm-hmm. So I pulled the covers all over my head, I swung my legs off the bed to get out of bed, tried to stand up, and fell to the ground. I was so weak. Mm-hmm. And so as I sat there, my legs not operating, I couldn't move. I just cried. And in that moment, I prayed and I said to God, God, I can't do this anymore. So either have mercy and take me home or teach me how to live. Hmm. And in about an hour, a girlfriend of mine who I hadn't heard from in years, I say that God, she was the answer to my prayers. She called me. Heard about what had been going on, and then turned me on to her coach. And that coach, Ted, is who I say saved my life, because he reminded me of who I am, of the kind of tenacity I've obviously shown, of what's possible in the world, and how I can reach for that. And together we built me back up to the Monica that then started this journey, which I'm on now, which is towards bliss.
Oh, wow. That is so beautiful. And just the power of a mentor and a guide or an example to, like you said, show you what's possible. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's what it did was you had these stories in your head about who you were and what was possible, right? And what you needed to do to achieve bliss and solve your problems and get married and that sort of thing. And then you found somebody that kind of blew those stories up, you know, mm-hmm. and really gave you, almost created probably some sort of clearing, would you say, to kind of create a new story about yourself and a new set of possibilities?
Absolutely. Ted was a bit of a tough love coach, very loving guy. And I actually, in my own coaching experience, have found that I'm very similar to him, which is probably why we click so well. He basically said, you know, you have spent your entire life studying joy. You need to start implementing. Like, what you've got in your head, unless it's being implemented, is not going to translate into your life. So I had a lot of experience, even a lot of practice, but I wasn't implementing it the right way. And that's the true value of a mentor. What was really amazing about Ted is within 6 months, my improvement was so good, right? Like, we have an aha moment or an epiphany. And then you have to go on the journey that that begins, right? It doesn't just happen automatically. Whoa, I'm excited. I'm happy, right? It didn't just happen like that. It happens over time. But within 6 months, there was so much improvement, he decided to hire me on as one of his coaches. And because we had been so committed and focused on creating happiness in my life, he brought me on as an executive coach with the clients who the biggest issue in their business was that they were no longer happy. They were no longer motivated. They had the perfect life, the multi-million dollar business, the gorgeous home, the beautiful family, quote unquote. But if you look behind the closed doors, everything was falling apart. And why? Because they weren't fulfilled. They weren't happy. And so that's how I started to teach people about bliss. And so before we move any further with this, I'd like to, if you don't mind, define what bliss is.
Yeah, I love your definition of bliss. Yeah.
Awesome.
Please share.
Yeah. So bliss, from my perspective, is a deep sense of joy and contentment and the confidence that you can handle anything that comes your way. So it's really about emotional mastery and emotional resilience. Yeah. Okay.
Love
so,
it.
Yeah. And so that's what I started to teach these really successful executives. And as I developed, like over the years, I found that there were certain strategies that worked all the time. There were strategies that I was implementing in my own life. And I also realized that this message was needed out there in the world. And there was only so many people I could coach, right? And so that's why I ended up writing my book, to get it out there to as many people as possible.
And it's just such a generous way of sharing what was truly like a series of dark nights of the soul. And in such a way, you've done your work to really integrate what you've learned and the wisdom that's come your way, and the value that you can bring to people that are still in adversity or extreme adversity in a lot of cases, to bring people to really to themselves almost and back into themselves and in a loving and accepting way is what I hear from you, and which creates a space for joy and bliss and connection. And that's just beautiful. That's beautiful. You said one of the things I didn't say about you, and I love this in the intro, I didn't say this, is you dance every single day. Monica, I think that's beautiful. And the technology behind that, the science behind what you're doing when you do that, as far as your neurotransmitters and your hormones and your general mood and your metabolism and everything else, is what a cool thing. And that's not something you hear people talk about much in the way of techniques and practices.
Well, it's interesting because I started dancing when I was 5. Like I said, I had a world reputation. I became, wow. I became a professional dancer. It was my biggest ambition. And I think it was one of the biggest gifts my parents gave me, because when they started me on that path of dance, they started me on, like you say, the technology, all the biology and the science behind dance. It's coordination. It's really feeling the vibration of music, movement, the endorphins that you get, the keeping yourself fit. Dance is an athletic endeavor like no other, because it really infuses the idea of flow as opposed to competitiveness usually, right? So it creates a different kind of mindset simply by what it is. Now, of course, I was a competitive dancer, right? So it is in there also. But truly, the experience of dance is about being in flow. Yeah. So it was such a powerful thing for me. So when I lost it, you could only imagine, it was a big piece of the depression, right? I went from dancing 6 hours a day to not being able to walk. Oh. So now, after having lost that, I didn't get it back for 10 years, but I will never let it go again. Because that's one of those things, like no matter what is going on in my life, it's something that brings me true bliss.
And it's such a success story too, that you're able to do that. You're able to do it every day. And it sounds like it's one of your deepest self-expressions.
It is.
And it's such a beautiful thing that you get to do that. I practice a fair amount of yoga.
Oh,
and
yes.
I'm actually involved in an ownership group in a yoga studio here in Salt Lake City. And the same concept of flow and ease and just being in a place of allowing and not mm-hmm. resisting. And I have a meditation practice that is sometimes better than others as far as getting it done. But I'll tell you, it's a wonder to me why I would ever not meditate, because to me, it's the skill set that you get from being able to be the observer of your thoughts and your stories and your emotions, and being able to sit with something and not resist it and to integrate it and really lean into it and embrace it. It gives you the ability to move through things so much faster and to return to a state of bliss, which mm-hmm. in my opinion is a natural state for us to be in once we've removed the constraints and stories that are maybe in our blind spots that are kind of running the show. And
I just love that you said that, because yeah. one of the things that I say to people all the time is bliss is our birthright. Yeah. So, and what I mean by that is we're born blissful. We're born these little bundles of joy and excitement and awe and curiosity, and we want to learn, and we're filled with this joy, and there's no such thing as discontent. We're just open, right? And then life teaches us what we're supposed to be, and we forget that that's our default. And so it's truly our birthright, and it's inside of us. We can't control what's going on out there, right? I couldn't control that guy hit me, you know, and destroyed my legs. We can't control what happens out there. Mm-hmm. We can always control how we choose to respond. Mm-hmm. That's the inside job. And so when you're talking about your meditation practice and what you said so beautifully, is to be observer, to allow, to accept, and to integrate. When you are able to make yourself whole like that, you can make the choices on how you're going to respond. And then nothing out there can defeat you.
Powerful. I love this. You know, you and I have something in common in that we both have podcasts. I have my other podcast is called The Expanding Man, and I'm actually working on the launch episodes, and so it hasn't launched yet. But the concept is to look at what it means to live an expansive life, a large life, a life that inspires others, from the perspective of being an authentic man, fully embodied in the masculine presence, and what it, you know, on a practical level, like what it means to be a man in our society right now with our current crises, and how are we going to show up as men? And I certainly don't always have a male guest, because I think bringing in the balance of the masculine and the feminine can be so valuable and so produce so much wisdom. But your podcast is a podcast specifically for women. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the reasons I really wanted to talk to you, is I think it's so powerful to offer, in your case, women, something that's unique and special to them that you share specifically with them. And I know that your topics vary, you know, across the gamut of real estate and mindset, and you really get into some other, you know, finances and great stuff. I'm curious, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on what that journey's been like, and maybe how having a podcast specifically for women in real estate has been maybe different, maybe not so much different, but has been unique and in that experience?
That was a lot of good questions, and I'm trying to think of where to start. So
do you want some help?
Actually, let me start with just talking a little bit about the podcast, and then I'll go back to my story. I think that's going to be a better way to put it all together. But the podcast, the reason that I'm doing the podcast for women is there's a really special thing that women bring to the table. And I love when you're talking about the expansive man, bringing the feminine back to the masculine, because women have a huge advantage. We have been brought up in a patriarchal society, right? So we are taught from a very young age the masculine way of success and action and all of those amazing things that the masculine brings to the table. We are taught we have to be that. Now, that can be considered a disadvantage. However, what the feminine brings is we have by default that feminine piece. We have the creativity. We have the intuition, the ability to birth ideas, this idea of multitasking, not that men can't, but women do it in a different way, right? So we have by default all that feminine, and then society has marinated us in the masculine. So the woman has the capacity truly to bring both sides to a business. And that's the advantage that we bring. Men have been catered to as the masculine. So they don't as often have access to these other things like the intuition, the gut feeling, making decisions quickly based on who you are rather than what's expected of you. A lot of times women will make those decisions too, what's expected of you, right? But it shows up differently for us, right? So the women have this, but we've turned our back on it because we resent so much of the time what has been imposed upon us. And so for me, what I really, really want women to see is what they bring to the table and to access all of that stuff that we've had the benefit of learning and experiencing in our world, right? We can marry the yin and the yang and be amazing in business, right? So for me, when I was creating a podcast, I didn't want it to just be another real estate show. I wanted it to be a show that really taught and empowered women what's possible for them, how to have the financial freedom they deserve and can have, that they're even better at creating, because we rock in real estate, but we just don't have that many mentors, right?
Well,
I wanted to be one of those voices. So when I put my show together, yes, of course we talk real estate strategy. But the truth is that you can talk real estate strategy anywhere. What I bring to it is we talk about mindset, what I call heart set, money smarts, all sorts of like the holistic view of how to create a business so that it's going to be blissful. I want the whole journey to be blissful, not just the end result, right? Because if you're not blissful, it's really not sustainable. So that's kind of why I created the podcast that way. So now how did I even get into real estate? That's another interesting story. Would you like to hear that?
Well, yeah. And I think it's absolutely, it was actually one of the things I wanted to maybe touch back into is you talked about your story and the obstacles that you overcame and the coach that you found. Yeah. And I'd love to hear about how that evolved into your real estate career. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. So actually my real estate career began with my parents. They moved to the United States as newlyweds from an arranged marriage. They barely even knew each other. They moved to the United States with only $200 in their pocket. And they had heard that the golden ticket to wealth in the United States was to buy real estate. So when I was born, with their hearts filled with joy and excitement and hope for this new baby, they decided they were going to start investing in real estate. So they saved all of their nickels and dimes. And when I was 3 years old, they bought their very first property. So I grew up with real estate, right? Now, fast forward 15 years, my parents paid for my college education through real estate. They did the same for my sisters. They paid for our weddings. So I saw what was possible in real estate. I also saw what my dad had been through. His experience was what a lot of us actually fear and hear about in real estate, right? The toilets, the tenants, the mortgages, all these things that go wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And I had seen my dad's stress. And as you know from my other story, my highest value was to find happiness, right? So I did not want that stress. I didn't want to be in real estate. And so I remember, so I graduated, I got my first job, lost my first job because of the accident. And I was still trying to put my life together. And I remember having a conversation with my dad over the kitchen table one night that completely changed my life. I was telling him about my fear and my stress. And I couldn't take care of myself and I had no money and no job. And what was I going to do? And I didn't want to be in real estate. And Dad said to me, you know, Monica, everybody has stress, everybody has fear, and everybody has money problems. Do you want poor people money problems or do you want rich people money problems?
Wow.
And so that began my journey. Even as a cripple, we began my journey towards building real estate, building my real estate business. So that's kind of how it began. But the thing is this, that I was committed, as you know, to bliss, and it was my highest value. So there was no way in the world that I was going to have a real estate business that was going to suck the life out of me, kind of like it had done with my dad and it does so many people. It needed to be a joyful experience for me. So from the very beginning, I created processes, I streamlined it, and I built that business on the foundation of that core value. It had to be blissful. And so that's how I started my business. And that's why I now call myself the Blissful Millionaire, because I did it. And now I can teach it to others, right?
It's so cool. It's so, so cool. It's one of my big whys is to have that level of success that it's not just credibility, but you bring such a level of credibility and expertise in achieving what so many people are out to achieve. And your generosity and sharing that, I would imagine would be very fulfilling at the end of the day for you.
Yeah, it is. You know, money is an awesome thing, but money is also an amplifier of who you are.
Sure.
So who we become on that journey to creating the money is who we end up being and amplifying once we've got that wealth. And so for me, giving back to the world after all that has been given to me is probably the most gratifying thing. Like, I love that I am well off enough that I don't have to worry about that piece, so that then I can be out there giving back to the world. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. You've found freedom, and within freedom, you found the ability to express yourself and share your gifts, you know, and not just the gifts of your story and your wisdom gained from that and your resilience gained from that, but just your natural gifts, your talents and your joy. And you just have an energy that's so authentic and so joyful, and it's contagious. And it's really what I wanted our viewers and listeners to get a feel for is what's possible in the world of joy, the world of bliss, specifically in the world of self-expression into the world. You know, you have in some ways, I'm sure you've maybe talked about this, you have and we all have masculine and feminine qualities, right? You have a masculine quality of really like being on a mission is the feeling I get from you. And it's so powerful to be connected to our sense of purpose and our sense of mission. And it seems to me that just your commitment to the word bliss in general and what that's meant for you and how that's been a guiding principle and a guiding light for you along the way, it's very, very powerful, and it's informing as to the power of things like mantras and affirmations and scripting, as Hal says, and visualization, you know. And so you're quite an example, Monica, for all of us, really.
You know, I'm being sort of sent a message. Is it okay if I send you, I know that I shouldn't say this to your audience, like I'm being sent a message, but I feel like I need to say this.
Please. I think I'm all about that kind of thing myself. So please do. Yeah.
Yeah. There's this thing about leadership, and there's leadership with women and there's leadership with men. I see you as a leader for the expansive male, right? And in real estate, to move, to utilize that core value of yours to create a real estate business, right? And what I just want to say to your listeners that are listening right now is that even if you don't feel like you're the leader that you perceive leadership should look like, you are the leader in your own life. And leadership has many, many different phases. Leadership can look like Tate. Leadership can look like Hal. Leadership can look like Monica. But we all show up very, very differently, right? Leadership can look like the president. Leadership can look like a CEO. Leadership can look like a prime minister. Leadership looks like a lot of different things. And sometimes, because of our opinions of those people that I just mentioned, we may not want to be a leader. I don't like that. I don't want to be that person. But you don't have to be. You can be the leader that you were built to be. And part of that is feminine and part of that is masculine. And you can choose which part of that spectrum you want to include. So when I show up as a leader, I'm a very soft leader. Like, I have a lot of masculine energy because I was in the financial industry for many years. But when I show up on a stage, when I show up on television, my leadership, my voice is very feminine. And that's by choice, because we get to choose who we show up as a leader in our own lives and our own businesses. Mm-hmm. And I just feel that's so important, especially when constructing a business built on bliss. Because if you're not showing up authentically, if you're not showing up in a way that makes you feel good, you're going to feel like a fraud, and that will pull you down. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Absolutely. It's like the new currency to me is authenticity. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that, like you said, the word fraud, you know, comes into play, and that just puts us in a disempowered context, and we're not going to ever be successful from that place in whatever we're doing. But no, I love what you're saying about leadership and how we're called to be leaders. Just within our own sphere of what we do have influence and control over. Inside of my business this year, we had two projects that were new build projects that just didn't go well, and in a pretty significant way didn't go very well. And I found we found that it does. And I found that within, you know, I'm the CEO of our company and one of the two owners. And I found that even with my partner, who I love to death and, you know, 100,000% committed to his success as well as to mine, I found that with him, there were a lot of days where I really had to put on the leadership role of that and really bring my A game, what I call my A game, which is, you know, the emotional maturity, the emotional intelligence, the emotional resilience that you referred to. And it means being in a place of really of non-resistance, of allowing, of, you know, when the proverbial stuff is hitting the fan and there's no denying the reality of that, we only have the power to respond the way that we choose to, and that we choose to show up in the world. And so,
and that's so empowering, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just so empowering. And I find that when I have been in similar situations and had to get through it, that is not easy, but it really shows you what you're made of, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
And if you're making those choices, if you're managing yourself in a way that you can be proud of, you earn your own respect in a way. Like, you come out of that a different person because you're so proud of who you are and how you showed up. And maybe there were places that you made mistakes, but you can learn from those, right? So, but having this mentality of supporting, showing up and making choices that are going to be of the benefit of you and everybody involved, right? Your partner, your family, everybody. If you show up that way, then you can feel good about who you are and then learn from the pieces of those experiences that you would rather never repeat, right? Like, right. Either how you acted or what happened out there, right?
Right. Yeah. And it kind of gets back to the whole empowering context or empowering story, in that we're always choosing our stories, you know, even when, you know, you're 10 months behind on a construction project, for instance. This, what you make that mean, and what you, even the story that you create going forward into the future, is your choice, and you have power over that. And if you can choose to choose a story that makes you feel at least a little better than the what you could go to in worst case scenario. Like, you know, amongst other things, this is just a great expensive lesson for us. And there's going to be so many resources and relationships to come out of it. And we might even, you know, something miraculous, something along those lines that loosens up possibility and mm-hmm. puts you back in a place of, you know, of maybe more, a little more flow and ease. And what, like you said, I mean, you said it really beautifully. It shows you what you're made of. And when I had to either join my team and in particular, my partner in kind of almost a little element of panic and despair, I had the choice of either going there or of being the type of leader that I know I can be to really guide us as a team through this. And in no way is he bad or wrong or not further along the line. He's, you know, we all have our own path, and it's an honor and a privilege to get to be a leader inside of my business and things like the podcast. And so, yeah, I love that leadership concept. I've got a few questions for you. You know, you shared, I'm just going to ask this again because it's so powerful. You shared a tip that I heard you share recently on one tip that we can use to be more blissful.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yes. So life can be tough sometimes, you know, life, yeah. I don't say life is tough, but there are certainly moments.
Absolutely.
Right? Almost every Absolutely. Day, right? And so yeah. whenever you get in a situation where life is tough or you're responding in a way that makes you feel bad and you feel like you're losing control, create what I call a bliss moment. And this is how you do it. It's what you do for a bliss moment is stop, drop, and breathe. And what that looks like is When you're in stress, what happens is, like Tate was saying, is you create a story in your mind. Let's just give an example. I have a tenant who is not paying rent. I don't have tenants that don't pay rent. But let's just say, for this circumstance, we have a tenant that doesn't pay rent. In your head, you might be creating the story. Why are they not paying rent? Don't they understand how much I'm taking care of them? I can't believe they're so disrespectful, blah, 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 right? There's this story that happens in our head, and that story creates stress. So what you want to do is you want to shift that story. You're making it up anyways, right? You don't know what's going on. So what you do when you're in a stressful situation is you stop. For me, literally, when I start to hear those voices in my head, I'll say, Monica, stop. And then you drop down from your head, your mind, all the way into your heart. So now you're in your body.
In your body, yeah.
Take a couple of deep breaths, right? Drop further down to the bottom of your feet so you're grounded. And now you're going to respond from this place of being grounded in a place of love rather than from the place of the stories in your head. So that's how you create bliss in a moment. It's not super easy in the beginning. First of all, you have to catch yourself and be okay with not being angry, because sometimes we feel justifiably upset, right?
Yeah.
It's, what does Hal say about that? You get 5 minutes and then you say, can't change that.
Can't change right? that.
Yeah. So if you want to be angry, do it. 5 minutes. Say, can't change that, and then drop into a bliss moment and then respond from there.
Yeah. And to me, the key moment in that process is the point of discernment, that where you catch yourself,
mm-hmm.
because that then
you make a decision to choose.
Yeah. And you that gives you all kinds of possibilities. And when you know that returning to your heart and returning to your body returns you to your bliss, that's of course what you would choose given the option. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think what a lot of us do, and I still do this, is we often go into autopilot with being cut off in traffic or whatever. I actually do catch myself pretty dang quickly these days, but I've had a few autopilot scenarios this year with subcontractors and where, you know, in all honesty, after the conversation, I said, Tate, that's not who you're committed to being.
Right.
You know, that's not how you're committed to treating people. And so you make amends and you just do better. You just try to do better the next time.
And that's the best we can do is just keep getting better. We're never going to be perfect. We will always make mistakes. I have really bad days. I yell at my husband. You know, we all do this stuff, but every day is an opportunity for us to improve a little bit better and take another little step towards that truly blissful life.
Yeah. And the power of choice.
Yeah.
Well, we only have a few more minutes, Monica, and I just have a couple of real quick questions. I love to geek out on this stuff. You, it seems to me, have probably had some pretty powerful and empowering and enabling training in your life. I was wondering if you might speak to that, whether it's been, you know, for me, one of my important part of my journeys was doing landmark education, the Landmark Forum. It really helped me discern my stories and my blind spots and things that were kind of controlling things from the sidelines. And you have such an amazing skill set around this realm. Are there any trainings or other maybe events that you would recommend that, or maybe that you would remember even that were key in your life?
Mm-hmm. The ones that I have used are no longer available, actually.
Okay.
So they also have retired and are living their blissful lives. But I will say this, that I am an avid reader. So the journey began when I read two very important books. One was How to Win Friends, actually three of them. So Think and Grow Rich.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. How to Win Friends and Influence People. And The Power of Positive Thinking. Uh-huh. And I actually read like Norman Vincent Peale now, and I'm like, wow, that is so old school, right? All of them are. But they were like the original guys who started to get people to think about this mindset piece and really that we choose what our life experience is like, right? So those were the three that started my journey. I've read a lot of books since then. I love Tony Robbins. So I have been to a couple of his events. I've never gone further with him, but I love what he has to offer. I'll often watch him on YouTube. I love Abraham Hicks as far as like raising our vibration and the word that you use a lot is this allowing, right? So I'm a very heavy follower of her. So those are the sorts of things that I do. And I always, always have a coach, whether it's and two of them. One on my personal life, one on my business life, and usually someone specifically for real estate. So I always have two, I'll often have three. So that's kind of how I have structured my life to make sure that I'm constantly evolving and growing.
And you're constantly reinvesting in yourself and constantly learning. Yeah. I love how you are in a space of having done some really deep soul level work, specifically in, you know, your 20s and 30s. And now you're in a space of growth and expansion and self-actualization, but you're in a place of bliss at the same time. You're no longer going through the dark stuff, you know, not to say it doesn't seem to me. And that's not to say that you don't have your challenges and your tough moments. But overall, it seems to me like you're able to now explore life from a place of freedom and a place of bliss and a place of inner peace.
Yes, absolutely. And that's really an interesting point. There's so many people, I was actually told once by somebody that I don't want to be blissful because then I won't be motivated. And that's exactly the wrong way to look at it, because when you're in bliss, you're motivated now to do something else. And I will say, I am more motivated today than I've ever been in my life because now I am in a place where I can truly expand. There's no restrictions on me. I mean, there are. We're constantly evolving, but the restrictions are different. I'm so much more expansive. And so my motivation it's a much higher level of motivation. It's not frenzied. It's not based on fear. It's based on expansion. You know what I mean?
So what would you tell a listener who is, you know, in one of the dark places and in a fear-based place. Your technique is beautiful. The stop, drop, and roll technique. That's
stop,
not what you
drop, and breathe.
There you go. Perfect. And that's a beautiful one. But what would you say on a business level to, you know, you have one of your coaching clients, a woman that comes to you and says, you know, like, I'm just stuck. Mm-hmm. I'm emotionally stuck and I'm not sure where to take my business and anything but in a state of bliss. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that simple that you could, we could probably talk about that for an hour, but is there anything simple that you might be able to offer?
Yeah. If you're feeling stuck and your business is stuck and you just don't know where to go, remember that you are making up that story in your head, because the truth is you do know, but there's a resistance. So once again, choose your story. You get to choose bliss. And no matter how hard it feels at any moment, you can make that choice. So if someone comes to me and says, Monica, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do with my business. And that happens all the time. I give them this very irritating story, right? They're like, really? But it's transformative if you will take it in. So just hear it. Mm-hmm. That story is yours. You've made it up. Create a different story. And the more that you tell yourself the new story, soon you will believe it and watch your life change.
And there's neurological proof to that. Mm-hmm. Joe Dispenza talks about nerves that fire together, wire together. And you're talking about that, the power of repetitive thought and visualization. And in your case, almost the mantra of the word bliss, really, right?
Choose bliss.
That's perfect. Well, I feel like we could go on for quite a while. I think there's a few things that you've alluded to that I'd love to delve into, and we don't have the time today, but specifically Abraham Hicks, you struck a chord with me there. Once again, just foundational for me, just absolutely a huge part of empowerment and healing and, mm-hmm. and returning to the self and returning to who you really are.
That's
powerful technology.
There was Tony on the masculine side. I consider Abraham on the feminine side.
Sure.
Balance.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. She's got such a state of allowing, you know, allowing, to be able to do what
right.
she does.
Receiving. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like opening. Those are all very feminine traits.
Yeah. One last question. If you talked about being motivated more so than you've ever been, what's it look like for you? I won't give you a time frame, like 1 year, 5 years, but you know, what's that the near term look like for you?
I want a TED talk.
Oh yes.
That's what I want.
Of course.
I want to have that huge expansive impact. Like, you know, I used to say, I want my voice heard by 1 million people. Well, I like blew through that within 3 months of like making that goal. So now I want TED. I want to be out there in the world. That's what I want.
I cannot wait for that, because I know you're going to make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the TEDs and the Tates of the world would be so lucky to hear your message. So
thanks.
Listen, blissfulinvestor.com. Listeners, please go there. Monica, you offer a free gift. Is that a download that you offer?
It's a download, and it's my my journey from when I started with $10,000 to how I've grown my business. So if you want to go on the journey with me and use those tips for your own business, feel free. It's blissfulinvestor.com, and at the very top, you can just you push the download, and you can get it there for free.
Oh, that's perfect. Okay. Well, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I've got this great friend that I didn't have an hour ago, and I feel like really connected to you and inspired by you. And I look to you as a leader and as a mentor, and I can't wait to dig into your podcast more. And I love how you say, hi, ladies. And I'm like, hi.
Hey, ladies.
Hey, ladies. Well, you've got to, maybe I'm going to leave a review that says, from a man, this is 100% worth, you know, worth absorbing and taking in, because yeah, it really is. It's really powerful. So other than the website, any way that you'd like to mention that people can get a hold of you?
You can get onto Facebook at the Blissful Real Estate Investor Group with Monica Sawyer. You can find me there. I'm on Instagram. But really, go to the website, blissfulinvestor.com. That's the very best place to start. And Real Estate Investing for Women, the podcast on Apple or Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts, that's a great place to go.
Yeah, I'll tell you, if I was a woman looking for a coach, we didn't even talk about your coaching program at all, but I'd be all over that. So listeners, hopefully you got some value out of this. We dropped a lot of technology, a lot of books, a lot of concepts that are not necessarily the most complex in the world, but sometimes the most challenging to integrate, but it's worth it. Mm-hmm. And from the perspective and Monica's space of having done the work and showing up so powerfully in the world and doing what you do and being on the mission that you're on. Wow, what a powerful example. I'm just blown away by you. And this has been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me to be on the show and for what you're doing in the world, Tate. I honor you.
I appreciate that very much. So you have a beautiful rest of your day. I know you're very, very busy juggling all the things that you do, and we'll look forward to visiting with you again, probably digitally first. I'll probably be listening to a lot of your stuff, but we'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
Sounds awesome. I look forward to it too. Take care.
All right. Yeah, you take care. Listeners, take care. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to The Apartment Guys. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Google Play to get new weekly episodes and to drop us a review. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook or visit our website at apartmentguyspodcast.com. Until next time, take massive action steps and rock on.